talk to you about revitalizing an old bus ministry or taking a ministry higher. Now, some of you are going to start a bus ministry. You're just starting out. Some of you have one bus or two buses. You're just really starting a bus ministry. But others of you are going into a church where you have a number of buses, maybe 5 or 10 or 6 or something else. When I went to Hammond to take the bus ministry there for Brother Hiles, Brother Hiles said, "You've got to come." I said, "I don't want to come." He said, "You've got to come." I said, "I don't want to come." He said, "You've got to come." I said, "I come. Here I come." Brother Hiles, then we had 75 bus routes with 1,100 on 75 bus routes. Now, remember what I said about average? Boy, that's very important. Average, average, average. You got God's money you're investing there. God's tithe money belongs to the Lord, doesn't belong to you, doesn't belong to some budget, really belongs to God. Seriously, you ought to go back and figure out what your average attendance is on each bus. And you ought to also figure how you're going to figure your average attendance. Now, I know some people that run, they got 10 workers on every bus. And some people think that you've got to have a certain number. Not necessarily so, Brother Gentry. By the way, let me say what a privilege I feel in having Brother Gentry with us in this great conference, and a privilege for me to be speaking with him. I love him in the Lord. Pray for him every day, Gardner, by name, and pray for his ministry, but pray for him by name. And I wish you, all of you folks, would put me and Brother Gentry on your prayer list. We have a hard road to hoe. And then a lot of deacons to battle. Be quiet back there, Deke. I see Deke came up. Do you see Deke, the thing that came up in the center aisle over here? A little stroller there we have for Deke. But anyway, okay. Now, seriously so, pray for us. And we hope that you'll help us by this. Now, figure out how many you're running on your bus route. And remember that you're going to be responsible to God for this number and be setting the goals to go higher and higher and higher, refining your routes all the time to get the stuff that's not doing anything out of it and get the things that is doing something into it and keep making it go. Okay, you inherit a bus ministry and you've got 6 buses or 8 buses or 10 buses or 15 buses or 75 like I did in Hammond. What do you do? What do you do? Now, some churches are more organized than others. In some cases, you'll have committee after committee after committee. Now, somebody has well said that a camel is actually a horse put together by a Baptist committee. Now, that's true. I have a message on a passage of Scripture that was already preached on during the conference. And in that, I talk about the 4 men that brought the man to Jesus. And I said that they definitely were not Baptists. Because had they been Baptists, they would have formed a committee to find out how to get the guy on the roof. Now, they did not do that. They just got him on the roof. Thank the Lord. Now, let me say that there are restraints that should be made on people, and we should feel responsible to people. The person who goofs up in his spiritual life and the preacher who fouls up is the one who feels responsible to no one. And that's something we need to have responsibility, first to the Lord. But we also need to have this free hand that Brother Gentry is talking about to change it. And when you take a bus ministry, it might be wise for you to have a heart-to-heart with the preacher to start with, if you're a layman or if you're an assistant pastor, and say, "Now, preacher, I want to go within certain boundaries. What boundaries do you want me to have? In other words, can I spend so much money? Do I have a free hand to spend up to so much money? Do I have a free hand to spend so much money per month? Do I have a free hand to redecorate the buses? Do I have a free hand to, how much free hand in the line of promotion? How much promotion do you want? What is taboo about promotions? Should we have Santa Claus suits on the bus, or should we not have Santa Claus suits on the bus? Should we have so-and-so and so-and-so? So in other words, you need to find some boundaries first before you take off. But then, if you do have a fairly free hand, let me explain to you, for instance, by way of example, what I did at Hammond when I took the bus ministry there. And this will be talking about how to revitalize old routes and old systems and so forth. Number one, when I went to Hammond, I reorganized the visitation. There are two ways to build a bus route. One is promotion and one is visitation. When I said build it, I didn't say sustain it. There is really only one way to actually sustain a bus route, and that is through visitation. But promotion will get it up, but it may get it down the next Sunday too. I think we were probably the only church in America that dropped 7,000 in Sunday school in 1 week. But anyway, we would have those kind of things. We'd have 5,000 1 week, 12,000 next week, 5,000 next week, and many other things like that. You don't have to do that all the time. You can build a strong thing that will not drop that much. One of the most stabilizing things actually in an entire ministry is the bus ministry. If you've got big days coming up, that is holidays, when most people are gone that are the normal people in the church, that is, I'm talking about the folks who are regular members who can afford vacations and afford trips and other things, you're going to have an exodus on the 4th of July, Labor Day, and a few other times. Well, I'll tell you one thing, if you've got a big bus ministry, you can keep that exodus from affecting your attendance and still have souls saved and not have to close the church on these dates. So, we want to push for these. But let's talk about reorganizing the visitation. Brother Gardner says 7 hours. Fine, great. If you can, whatever you can get people to do, do it. And it may be wise for you to do the biggest thing first. That is, if you go in while you still have the reins of the situation, when you first go in and the preacher says, now you want to obey Brother so-and-so who's going to be our bus minister, you want to obey him, then go in there and do everything you can right away. Right away, and let all the disgruntleds leave while they can, and work this. But anyway, first thing I did, I said 3 hours minimum for you to have a bus. You cannot have a bus ride unless you promise me, the Lord, the pastor of this church, that you'll visit 3 hours per week. 3 hours per week, 3 hours per week. Number two, under the visitation, I started a record system. And we sell a record system called the triplicate form. It's used by more people than anybody else in the world in the records, and it seems to be worked the best. We use it at Hammond, still use it in the Hammond, and many other places. Trinity Baptist in Jacksonville and many other places use our triplicate forms. But anyway, these record systems. I went visiting with one fellow, and I said, why don't you have a record system? This is when I first got to Hammond, one of the bus captains. Well, he said, I don't need it. I keep it all up here. That's a bad place to keep it, I'll tell you. There were a lot of cobwebs up there, and you forget things. It was wintertime and very cold, and I said, okay. I said, all right, we won't use the record system on your route. Let's see how you do. And he said, now, let's see, which street is it? I've got this, let's see, it's either this one or the next one. Okay, now I can make three calls while he's this one or the next one. See, okay, and time to me is valuable. That's why I pour into 3 hours everything I possibly can, moving as fast as I can, talking as fast as I can. I just push and push and push and push and push and push and push. And you're going to have to train your people to do that. And if you're in the South, it's a lot harder to do. But I'm saying you're going to have to get some fast-talking Southerners to go ahead and do it right. Now, it may be that you have to string it up 7 hours if you can't get them to do it fast. But you want to make brief, quick, short calls and fast calls and just as quick as you can possibly get the job done. Now, all right, I said, okay, which house is it? He says, I think it's one of these. I'm not sure which one. I said, what's their name? He said, I don't know, but I know I've got to stop here. So he knocked at a door, a girl came to the door, and he said, this was a real entree. I mean, he said, who are you? Kind of reminded me of the demon talking, you know, and the Lord. Well, they said, Paul, I know, but and Jesus, I know, but who are you? Anyway, he says, who are you? She said, I live here. He said, well, I didn't know you lived here. He said, well, I've lived here for 5 years. And do you have a little sister about this big? Yeah, I do. And it was the right house. But he didn't know. All right, people aren't complimented when you don't remember their name. People are complimented when you go to the house and say, is Johnny, Billy, Henry, and Sue at home? Johnny, Billy, Henry, and Sue. Woo! He remembered all those names. Great! Ha ha! He cares about my kids. And you do care about your kids. And so with your record system, you can go and call the individual names and say, so-and-so was absent, so-and-so was not absent. It compliments the people. It works a lot better. And by the way, that becomes your record system, becomes a prayer list that you labor over and pour your heart out over. God save these. God save these. God save these. All right, now, Additionally, I would get graphs and show them where they were going on their routes. And if I had just a few routes, as I did at Trinity start with, when I'd have 10, 12 routes, something like that, I'd draw a whole big thing on the board of the graphs of how their routes were up and down and up and down. And I'd check about last year at the same time. If I saw a day that was particularly bad when we used to have the time change back before the war. When we had the time change and other things, there were certain Sundays that were just dead Sundays unless you planned for them in a big way and promoted for them. All right, now, so reorganize the visitation. Demand certain things. Now, for instance, I asked my bus captains in Hammond, I said, don't come home. Don't come home unless you line up 10 new ones. I mean, you've got to line up 10 new ones before you even head home. 10 new ones. On a big super day where you're trying to have a lot of people saved and trying to have a new record attendance, then why don't you ask them to do more than that? Say, don't come until you get 20 or 30 new ones. Now, on a brand new bus route, you're going to have to get more than 10 and more than 20 to have anybody that first Sunday. You're going to have to line up 100 or many, many more. And it's easy to do it. You say, how about you? Well, I can recall in Ruskin, Florida, where I pastored and worked the bus ministry, there were 1,800 people. One Saturday, one guy was down in the 20s on his bus route and said, he's in trouble, I'm going to help him. So I went with him, and in 3 hours, I had the names and addresses of 100 new ones that promised me they'd be there the next day. He said, okay, smarty, how many of them came? Well, I don't really know, but there were 91 on the 60-passenger bus, and three cars behind the bus that couldn't get on the bus. I'll take that for 100 promises any old day. Now, seriously, and I'm serious about this, absolutely serious, line up. Now, number two, try to find ways to make it easier on the bus captain. Now, I'm for my captains. I'll fight for my captains. I expect them to fight for me. If somebody jumps on them in the church, I'm ready to defend them. I'll flip out my water pistol and give it to them. Now, really, I'm serious about it. Anybody comes to me and criticizes the bus captain, they got me to fight. If they criticize the bus kids, they got me to fight. And my bus captains knew that. And because of that, they felt they had a champion, somebody that would take care of their cause. No longer were they the second-class citizens that couldn't teach a Sunday school class, or they weren't qualified to be deacons, so they're going to get a bus route. No, I wanted to elevate them and make them into somebodies that would be elevated. And so I tried to find ways to please them. Well, here's some of the ways. When I went to him and I found out, now let me see, don't criticize anybody who's been a predecessor of yours. And I'm not. Please understand, I'm not. I do not know the reason. There may have been a very good reason at that time. But the bus garage was 12 miles from the church in Hammond. The bus garage where they kept all the buses was 12 miles from the church. And they called it the bus barn. Now, the barn is where you put stuff you don't want anymore. The junk goes out in the barn. So I thought, oh man, barn. And out there, and when it would get cold, it would rain in Hammond, a lot of rain. It would rain in Hammond. And the bus, where we kept the buses, was all potholes and chuck holes, and the buses were sitting down the hole. We had to get a diesel tractor to pull them out of the ice when it froze, because their tires would be frozen up in the ice, and you couldn't even get them out of the lot. Now imagine that. You visit all week and beat yourself to death against the odds and the elements, and you're going to go out there and your bus won't come out of the hole. And you can't get out, and you're 12 miles out from the church. You drive it 12 miles just to get it back into the church location, and then you go 40 miles to Chicago with the bus, and 40 miles back, and then 12 miles back out there, and 40 miles back to Chicago. Listen, after a while, that's demoralizing. So I said, what can we do? What can we do? What can we do? I said, I'm going to move it right up close to the church. So that when they start out from the church, they're close to the church, and that's where they're going to end up. It took 30 minutes to go those 12 miles, and 30 minutes to get back to the church the 12 miles, and 30 minutes. So in other words, I saved them 2 hours by moving the bus center back to the church. Now, the property around the church was almost untouchable, so I went north toward Chicago, 3 miles from the church, and bought an old, it was a manufacturing home for mobile homes. It had 41,500 square feet inside the building. We could park 50 buses inside the building and keep them warm, steep heat. There were 14 offices in the building. There were spaces for a place where you could work on 6 buses at the same time mechanically and paint 3 of them at the same time, plus several acres of parking. Okay, then when we got that, I didn't call it the bus barn. I called it the bus center. Well, the house used to kid me all the time and said, you wouldn't call it the bus suite after a while. And if I could have gotten by, I would have called it that. Now, seriously, elevate it. It's a bus center. It's a Christian bus center. And I put Jesus Saves up on the front and scripture verses and painted it up. You mean an old greasy bus barn and a place like that, and you painted it? I painted it up and put carpet on the floor where you walked in and had a coffee maker. It was neat and clean and had secretary service and had all kinds of things and tried to make it into something. And pretty soon, the bus captains became known as professional people rather than just second-rate citizens. And they ought to be. Bless their hearts, they're bringing half and three-quarters of the crowds that we're preaching to. They ought to be something. All right? Number one, I moved the bus garage. Number two, when I went there, the average age of the buses was 1957 models. I had a fleet of 56 Fords. And I don't know how you feel about 56 Fords, but don't ask me how I feel about it. Bailing wire. Boy, I mean, tell you, they were wrecks, and it just tried to crank them up. So I tried to upgrade the fleet by buying and selling and buying and selling and buying and selling, and I don't advise everyone to do this. I do not advise you to do this. But I did something else. I started to get all one make of the bus. I found over in Maryland a fleet of 30 beautiful buses. They were Lodestar Internationals, which means the Lodestar series hasn't changed since 1962. They all look identical up into the 72s and 73s, and they're beautiful buses. They all look identical. And so I bought that whole fleet, and more. Everybody was excited about that. The folks in the church were excited about it, and it didn't cost me that much money. We only lost 2 of them on the way back from Maryland, but I'm saying you can. You can drive them from a long distance. You'd be surprised what they'll take. So we had newer buses. When I left, a year and a half, 2 years later, we were running 5 years newer in average in our buses. Now, then I said new image, number 3. I said, how many of you ever saw the buses in Hammond? Yeah. But would you stand up, sir, with the brown right there? Yeah. You see that old dirty brown? You really think your shirt's brown? It's really white, but that's been on him for quite a while. Thank you, sir. But that's about the color the buses were. They were kind of a chocolate with a desert sand that. Well, anyway, it looked great on a 55 Buick. But it didn't look so hot on a great big bus. And so I said, with the permission of the pastor, I went into the first to find out whether it was the pastor who chose that color. And then I said, Dr. Hiles, I found out you did not choose the color of the buses last time. I said, I want to talk to you about changing the image of the bus ministry and the colors of them, and I'd like to go ahead and try to change them. Now, let me say, I've learned one thing in the bus ministry. You don't even have to have a painted bus to get them in. That isn't the point. And you don't have to have a new bus to get them. That isn't the point. The point is really the captain. But I'm trying to do something to spur those captains on. So I started painting the buses blue and white. And it had red lettering with a black shadow on it and a beautiful lettering. I think they were beautiful buses. And you girls from Hammond, you can testify to this. But I thought they were a good combination. And everybody said, don't do that. Don't do that. It's all this dirt up here. You paint them white, they look awful. Yeah, but they looked clean for a while anyway. But they didn't look dirty all the time like the other ones did. And so I'd get up in a bus meeting and I'd say, okay, all you jokers who won't visit 3 hours a week, you get the old buses. But all of you who want to go ahead and visit 3 hours a week or more every single week, you'll get the brand new blue and white and red buses and those lovely. I remember one lady, Marge Abner. She'd never visited her bus route, and still was running 35. 40. Never visited. 35, 40. I said, if I can ever get that woman to visit, she'll run 100 every single Sunday. And she stormed out at me and said, I'm not going to drive an old bus. I want a new bus. And so she went visiting. That first week she had 50. The next week she had 70. The next week she had 70. The next week she went over 100. This was summertime. Summertime. And she just kept going on. She's written up in one, I think, Elmer Towns' new book now because of the hundreds and hundreds of people she's brought in on her bus route. Now, one little thing will motivate somebody to be a fantastic worker for God. All right, new image, number four. One day, shift patterns is what I put down for number four. One day I was at the bus center, and if you want to learn about, you say, I'm a bus head bus director, but I don't know what to have in my bus director's meeting, in my bus captain's meeting. I don't know what to discuss. All you got to do is follow a few buses to church. Watch them a few times. Listen to them as they get off the bus. Look at them from the back as the tires are going like this, and as the kids are running back and forth in the seat, or sticking their hands out the window or something else, or they're crossing the railroad tracks without stopping. You'll find lots of things to talk to them about in the bus ministry, but you've got to watch them. You can't sit behind a desk somewhere and say, that's the way I'm going to fix up your bus meeting. It won't work that way. All right? I was following a guy. Somebody taking his bus. He got there and somebody taking his bus. Theirs wasn't running, so he had to have another bus. And it was an old puller, an ancient puller bus, big snub nose, and there was no shift pattern on it, and he wasn't any great shakes of a driver anyway. And so he got in that bus, and I'll never forget, I was following him down a narrow road, going from the old Gary Bus Center back into Hammond, and he put it in first gear in Grandma, and he put that thing down in there. We're off of the road flipping mailboxes. He was down there trying to shift that thing in gear. I pulled ahead of him, stopped him, and I said, man, you're flipping the mailboxes. You've hit I don't know how many trees along the side, and there's a bridge coming up, and you better do it. He said, I just don't know how to shift this thing. This is a foreign deal to me. I don't know anything about it. And so I went through the shift pattern with him, tried again. Before the day was out, he'd had an accident and sideswiped the car with that bus. I said, It's my fault. He went out there. He didn't have to. All I'd had to done was just put a shift pattern on there. He'd have been fine. The next week, every single bus in our fleet had a shift pattern drawn right on the front, great big letters right up there where they could see it. Now, there are many other things that you can do, but I'm saying find things that you will have trouble with. Talk to your bus captain, and don't ask them to tell you. Don't ask them to tell you. You may generate some things you didn't want, but listen to their talk. Ron Rodder is one of the greatest youth directors in the world, probably the greatest in America that I know. And Ron Rodder, people ask him, said, what are you preaching to the kids about? He said, just listen to them. Listen to them talking to each other. When you can preach, you have a message every week. Every week, something they've been into. And you'll find out. And you've got to have your ear tuned to your captains, or you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble. All right, now, try to find some way to make it easy. Number three, set goals. Set goals. We've heard something about goals already. But set them. And set them accordingly. How many do you want by the first of next year? I'm talking about average. What would be the high hit by the first of next year? Plan for it. And announce these goals to your captains and so forth along this line. Now, another thing I saw was the 50 Club and the 100 Club. In our church, there had never been a reward given for 50 or 100 on a bus. This is Hammond First Baptist. And so I started the 50 Club. I said, okay, I'm going to give you a tie tack, a pen, or a tie clasp. BB Publications handles those. And I'll give you a tie tack. This is a 50 Club emblem. You can't buy one. You have to earn it. And so, man, well, I want 50. So they go ahead. I said, you get it the second time. Now, some people have a 450 Club. You've got to make 54 weeks in a row in order to get one. And so forth. However you want to do it. Some of them have 65 clubs. However you want to do it. Whatever you think you can motivate. And I said, okay, you get it the second Sunday, and I'll give one to your driver, too. Well, sure. I'm for 50 folks. I said, 100 club, we'll give you a sports blazer. We'll give you a double nut sports blazer and an emblem. I said, somebody with one of my emblems on. Who's got one of my emblems on? Stand up. He's got it on the shoulder there. Okay? I said, 100 club, right down here. 100 club, exclusive club. I put in the lobby of the First Baptist Church of Hammond a big plaque with a walnut and brass. And I said, and I took two of these tack clasps and put them on there and soldered them on there. And I said, these following people have achieved the unbelievable total of having been responsible for bringing over 100 people to Sunday school on one day. And then I read that thing from the platform, and the people all picked up, and I got the idea from Gardner. He had 100 circle, and we had the pictures of these folks out in the lobby in a winner's circle, 100 circle. Get your picture in there. Get 100 on your bus route. All these things. Listen, folks, we want to belong to something. We want to belong to an exclusive club. See? Fix an exclusive club. And so we did. 100 club. We give them a blazer and the emblem when they got to 100. And so forth. I have made for one bus ministry in California a number of special emblems with 300 club. Where they've had over 300 on the bus routes, numbers of them. Okay, now, then number five, I think it is. I set up a divisional system. I said, now we've got so many routes. I said, I'm going to divide you up into pies geographically. And I'm going to take the top captain and make him responsible for all the others. If you have, and it works for you, superintendents for your Sunday school and your junior superintendent and young people superintendent and others that motivate those other workers, why would it work for the bus ministry? And so we did this. And that worked and did a great deal. Now, I'm just going to stop here with the last one. Be kind, sweet to your bus captains and love them. Pray for them. You should try to visit in their homes and find out some of the problems that they have and work with them on that. Well, let's stop there and have questions now. Time's already gone, so let's go for questions. Right back there. On the route, the best way to take attendance is count the I's and divide by 2. And it usually runs out right. Now, the only way you can do it is not off of a record. You have to count heads. Some people will do this, and I'm just talking about so that you can put down enough so many, and you count when you get to the church. Yes, sir. Yeah. Oh, well, you need that as to get on the bus. You have your secretary sitting there, and a secretary, or you can have a stewardess. Now, a stewardess in this particular system keeps moving all the time, and that's a great and wonderful idea. I hope that just literally hundreds of you will try this. Also, I'd like to add that we should have someone to keep records. And perhaps this could be a secretary, it could be a teenager, it could be someone on the bus or the wife of the driver or somebody. And for instance, in some of our buses, we turn the front seat around. We take the front seat and turn it around so it faced the other one. And the newcomers would sit down on that front seat and be interviewed by the secretary, got all the information down on this triplicate form, and welcomed the Sunday school, gave them a thing and a good handshake, and so we're sure glad to have you. You may have a seat anywhere on the bus you'd like, and so forth. And so the seat was kind of like a little Pullman berth or something in there. Okay, no questions. Real quick. Yes, sir.
How many do you normally run on one bus before you add another bus to that route?
The question was, how many do you run on a bus without... before you split the bus route. It depends on the situation. In some cases, I wouldn't want to split it even if they had 100. In other cases, when they got to about 60, in some cases, I'd want to split it because of the people involved or because of the distance of the route. It was strung out so far, and I felt that by splitting it in two and giving them two routes of 30 rather than one route of 60, but he's taking, he's always late, every week he's late, and so forth, and you have to start at the crack of dawn. So there are many factors involved when you split the route. But I would say that normally when you get to capacity of the bus, you should probably split the route. Again, it depends on what you want to do, as Brother Gardner had said, and the capacity of the captain. You may have a guy who's fantastic, or a lady who's a fantastic manager. And she may be able to handle 5 or 6 sub-captains that are all visiting for her, black captains and so forth, and she may be able to run 5, 6 buses on one route. So it depends. Don't have a hard and fast. Folks, let me just say this. You're going to hear from me, you're going to hear from Brother Gentry, and you'll hear from other people. Do what works for you. Don't just say, well, it's got to be done this way. No, if yours isn't working, then try my way or try Brother Gardner's way. But it may be a thing where you want to combine the two. And they don't come. How many times before you give up on them? Suppose that you had a brother that lived in Hammond, Indiana, and he was lost and had a whole bunch of little kids. How many times would you want me to stop before I quit on him? You wouldn't want me to quit, huh? Well, Dr. Tom Malone said one time, he said, I've been visiting some people for 15 years. One of the most outstanding conversions we ever had in Trinity was a bus captain who's been a captain, by the way, for 14 years now. He said, I visited 3 years, one family, before I got them the first time. And the boys are preacher boys now, studying for the ministry. And saved. So, all right, back here behind you. You know, when you just have to go to a trophy shop and hunt. Yeah.
It needs to get a lot of churches that would go together on this. That mold costs about $1,000 to have one mold made to where there can be many made off of it and ordered from it. And one church just won't usually say, here's your $1,000, go make you a mold. But if enough of us got together and we had one of these trophy shops to make a mold with a big bus on it, you could do that. But there's not one available.
Right, and we sell it with bigger publications.
Yes, correct. Right.
No, most of these things you got to kind of hunt down. Yes, sir, right back here.
I have a question. All right. Number one, speaking of families like that, I had one for 8 months. It was called one off the first time. Now, kids never missed the parents' department around.
Amen.
And number two, I don't know how. You must have to be dead in 3 hours, but I can't understand. 7 sounds as a minimum.
Have you ever been to Hammond? Up there, when you bury somebody, they don't say dust to dust, actually, they say soot to soot. And you're asphyxiated if you're out over 3 hours, is the reason. Yes, sir.
Might you explain how you enlist?
How I enlist. Okay? Enlist for new riders. How do you do? I'm Mr. Beebe from the First Baptist Church, and we run a Sunday school bus for a year and wondered if you folks attend anywhere regularly. That's how I enlist. If they say no, now, if they give a fishy answer, I try to probe deeper and so forth. Basically, that's it. All right? Thank you. Do most churches get discounts on fuel and so forth? If you buy my bus, I'm keeping the bus, my book along with Keeping the Bus Ministry Rolling, I tell you how to coerce the fuel companies in there. And you can. You can coerce the fuel companies, and you can shop around and get inexpensive fuel and that will run the buses. And I used to go to the station and say, now, I have a marvelous opportunity for you. If I park my bus, I'm going to park one of my buses over here at your station. Advertising. Painted up nice. Lettered. I'm going to park one of my buses over here. I'll let you have it over here if you will gas it up every week, check the oil, the water, everything, check the fan belt, and so forth, tension, water in the battery, sweep it out, and make any minor repairs. You know, you got to check the brakes, run it around a little bit, and so forth, and give me 2 cents off in a gallon. And someone will do it. It's good business for them. It is good business. The reason is that now, of course, you don't want to get a crook, and you want to get somebody with a clean station, and somebody to, if you possibly can, get a Christian. See, because in a way you're endorsing them. Way in the back. Yes, sir. There are pictures of it in the book there, and you may get an order form that explains how to use it, how many you need. They're $3 a hundred, and if you buy more, they're less than a three-part form. The first part that you use, you give to the Sunday school teacher. Secondly, goes to your records for your entire church, for a mailing list, and the third is cardstock and stays on there for a whole year. You can just check attendance for the year there. All right, over here. And they get in the bus ministry? A new convert, and they want to get in the bus ministry, what part or facet? They are a bus captain. Well, all right. I'll be covering that in the motivation and recruiting workers. Let me wait until then, okay? Because there are a lot of things you do. Yes. Also, that's covered in that book on security of your bus fleet. Whether you should build a cyclone fence, whether you should get a mean dog, and that's true. A lot of times you should get a couple of nice mean dogs. This is taught through about parking in under a light at a gas station, whether you should park them at the church, whether you should park them at somebody else's house, and so forth. There is trouble with vandalism, so make sure and get comprehensive insurance. Not collision, necessarily, but get comprehensive insurance along with your property damage and liability, because your comprehensive covers the vandalism and glass breakage, and remember there's $900 worth of glass in a bus. Usually when they break all the windows out of one bus, they just jump them because they can't afford to put the windows back in. All right, two more questions. One more question.
How do you get around them dogs when you're knocking doors?
Well, how do you get around them dogs when you're knocking doors? Right back there is where one got me. You want to see where one got?
Look at this one here.
That's a big dog got him.
A Korean
dog. Had a big bite. If you haven't gotten a few battle scars, you probably haven't done much visiting. Seriously, though, I do. I have been bitten on the bus route. Usually, I don't ever turn my back on a dog. I did one time, and that's the reason I don't ever turn my back on a dog anymore. I was just going up the stairs, and a great big old chow came out and bit the fire out of me, and blood running down my leg, and I knocked on the door. The woman, I said, "Your dog just bit me." He said, "He's never bitten anybody." I said, "Look." Seriously, and that's true, it happened to me. But I do not turn my back on a dog. I try to look confident. I don't try to secrete any adrenaline. I just don't worry, and I walk up bold. In fact, as I usually go, come on, walk. Come on, boy, that's the way. And right away, try that. It'll really work. And usually I take a beacon with me. They love beacons. Beaconings are good. Now, some people have suggested the ammonia in a squirt gun, and that'll get them, boy. And so, okay, our time is gone. I've taken 2 minutes more, and then I should have.